on the curves.
I'm not a glitch, Dad. Just got dyslexia, okay?
This out on you! This out on your cow!
Welcome, foolish mortals.
It is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight.
The reference here is very obscure.
Welcome to the obscure world of Disney. You're listening to the Obscure Disney Podcast.
It's our belief that no detail is too small, no character cameo too short, and no quirk too strange to be celebrated.
And with new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday, why not get an annual pass wherever you get your podcast from, or find us at obscuredisneypodcast.com.
And see all of our fun patches at disneypatch.com.
Oh, it's a fun week in the world today, isn't it?
It's better for us than it is for Disney, generally speaking, right now.
And by extension, I think it's fair to say Disney is one thing, but really the concern for me is for the employees who work for Disney.
Yeah.
And the people that rely on that income, which is all of their employees, I assume. You wouldn't have a job if you didn't need the money, right?
Yeah, everybody relies on the income because, you know, as everybody knows, with all of the shutdowns going on, Disney's obviously been incredibly hard hit. We don't normally talk about stuff like this on the podcast normally, but this is, you know, it's kind of a big thing. So we're talking about it now.
Yeah.
Talking a little bit about it. We're going to try to keep it somewhat happy.
Keep it light.
Keep it light, folks.
As light as you can have it, I guess, at this point.
When there's, you know, global pandemics. but yeah, you read an article yesterday that was a bit shocking.
Well, and it was a little disheartening and a little shocking and all of the above. Disney is obviously a very different beast when it comes to reopening. It's not just a restaurant. It's not just an amusement park. It's not just a hotel. It's
cruise line.
Not just a cruise line.
It's theater company.
Everything all mushed together. And the crowds there, we all know, can be ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. 100,000 people a day per park.
And we've been there on days where we're elbow to elbow with people and you're trying to just move in general. And it's very stressful. And so reopening,
I've been to nightclubs that are not as busy as Disneyland.
Trying to reopen a park like that in this time period is very touch and go. You have to be really careful, I think, about what you do when it comes to reopening a park in this type of situation. Partially because you just want to be responsible. You know, you don't want to throw your doors open too soon and cause more problems. And you do care about the people that are coming into your parks, so you don't want to cause them any unnecessary harm, you know.
Yeah.
So reopening a Disney park is a very sensitive subject, I think, right now for a lot of people.
Oh, completely true.
We want to go back, but we're not sure when that safe moment's going to be.
To go back. And this is the reason we're talking about it now, is because finally we're like, you know, we'll just event. The hard part was, is we finally read that some analysts are now saying that, you know, prepare for 18 months of closures. Right? And I lost it. Like, I just, yeah, like I literally had to pull over to the side of the road and said, I'm sorry, you said what now?
18 months. That is a long time for a park to be closed.
Right.
We've lived in a place where there's a park that's closed for half the year.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it shows signs of that.
That's a good point, that all local amusement parks in most places, especially if you're in colder climates,
right,
they are always closed for like 5-6 months a year, right?
Right. But Disney doesn't do that.
Mm-mm.
And it shows because they, A, have the money coming in from people visiting, and they also have consistent maintenance and upkeep going on the whole time. There's never a time when there's just nobody in the park.
That's a good point.
I did see, I'm not sure if it's a joke thing or not, but I did see that some person tried to break into Disney.
Oh, I bet that happened. At least one person.
Right. So, I mean, we're all getting stir crazy.
What would you do if you did get in, though? Walk around?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, legitimately, if they let me in right now and I was the only person there, I would have a ball. Not riding a single ride, I would have a great time just walking around an empty Disney park.
Oh, yeah, that'd be fun.
But
we'd become YouTubers real quick.
Right? Yes. And then get arrested. So the concern is coming up now is how long are we going to have to wait for the Disney parks to be open? And what does that mean for the Disney parks themselves?
So many thoughts. Yeah.
So many things. I saw something that said, like we read 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then it also, I saw something that said, oh, it probably won't open up again until January 1st.
Of the end of the year.
And that's stressful. That's stressful, not just because we'd like to go, but because there are thousands of employees that are being affected by that.
Oh my gosh. I think Disney World alone has 40,000, 75,000, like 75,000 employees. And part of the reason I'm a little bit concerned about it is that just like last week, Disney made an agreement with one of the big unions that manages a lot of their union employees there,
mm-hmm.
that they are giving, they've determined on how they're going to be able to stop paying those folks. And that seems to be more of a symbol, or that might be an indicator that it is going to be a little bit longer than expected, because I honestly thought that literally before summer, we'd
That was kind of the hope, I think, for everybody.
Maybe a month or two,
right?
Like 6 weeks kind of a thing. So right. To hear 18 months. Oh, yeah. The other concern I had about it is that back in like a World War II era, they used to say, so goes GM, so goes the nation.
Right.
And that's kind of how I feel about it in today's society now, is so go Disney, goes the nation.
Mm.
And as we know, 2019 was incredibly huge and profitable for Disney as a company.
Right.
It seemed like everything they did was just phenomenal.
Everything was coming up.
Making. Right. And so then to hear that might be the case, you're like, oh, dang. I can't even imagine what that could spell out for the like rest of the country as a whole, but.
Well, and I think erring on the side of caution is very important for a company as big as Disney. If you open your doors too early and a lot of people get sick, you're opening yourself up to a lot of liability. People would be very mad.
And just socially. Yeah. Just like from a humanitarian effort. Even.
Sure.
They almost have to do it, but. Yeah, let's hope that's not the case. I did also read just this morning, though, that they're putting together a commission down in Florida trying to determine how it's going to be the best way to reopen, like, Florida, basically.
Mm.
And the CEO of Disney Walt Disney World. That's a true place, folks.
Disney Walt Disney World.
See how scientific we are? He's on the commission to help determine the best way to reopen.
Mm.
And so hopefully they're part of that first wave or built
the
into
most responsible
the,
wave.
Yeah, built into the system of how it's going to be done. So hopefully it was just complete analysts being completely insane and stupid with their comments, so that they have a smarter option
right.
than 18 months or you know what I mean? Like they have the ability to open it earlier than
sometimes
that.
It's nice to overshoot and be proven wrong.
Just once during this would be nice, right?
Just so if you say, I think it's going to be 4 years and then it opens up in 6 months, everybody's like, you were wrong. And you're like, yeah, I'm so glad I was, mm-hmm. you know. But really, the other question that rolls into this is financially, obviously, the parks are taking a major hit because they raked in millions of dollars a day
at
Disney parks. What does that mean for all the announced projects and even begun projects around the Disney parks?
Well, this is such a huge question too, right? Because they basically ripped apart Epcot.
Yeah, Epcot's basically a construction site at this point.
Completely that. They ripped out demoed an entire building that's half demoed at this point. They were putting in the Moana. If it ends up being 18 months, I feel like, how could you possibly open Epcot right off the bat? You'd almost have to reopen Walt Disney World like they did the first time.
One
like,
park at a time.
You'd almost have to open, and I guess you could open all three except for Epcot. I don't think that Epcot would be part of the top three at that point, but maybe.
I mean, they've had it open up to this point. Even while they were doing construction, they allowed people in because really at this point, their construction is focusing mostly on the entrance area of Epcot.
Yeah, so once you get past that part, the rest of it's fine.
Right, technically they could reopen it, but I think a lot of the construction plans have had to have been either canceled or majorly altered at this point. because you're losing so much money that you were planning on using for things. And yeah. I don't know how Disney plans those. I don't know if they have it in the budget, if they've already set aside money for these projects or not. But inevitably, this kind of money issue is going to affect things.
Oh, completely true. There's no way they're going to be able to have the money to start rebuilding anything there.
No.
And the overlay, the update that they were going to do for Spaceship Earth, I think is
that's out.
Absolutely yeah. out, right? The thing that they were going to do for Mary Poppins.
That's out.
Completely out, because they haven't even touched that project. But then, like, because I was thinking that, like, I just was thinking about this just now, that I thought that, well, they probably shouldn't reopen it right now. But they did just build Ratatouille, the Ratatouille ride that they've invested so much money in, and they just did Skyliner, which they invested so much money in.
Right.
So if you didn't reopen those two things, and that puts, so I guess it would be best to just figure out how to, like, halt as much as they possibly can and just leave it in that state for the next 4 or 5 years. But I think that's what we're looking at.
That's the real
from
concern.
Our educated.
Yeah. From our very informed and educated point of view, the issue I'm looking at is, how long will this affect a company like this to have been down for even as long as they've been down? They've lost a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
They're losing money on their movies that aren't coming out. They're losing money on no one going on cruises, and, you know, all of these aspects. Yeah, so they're probably losing more money than most of us will ever see.
Oh, of course.
You know, on a daily basis. So it's very interesting to me to what this will affect the rest of the company moving forward. Because we all know that I like to scold Disneyland Paris for sucking all the money out of every other project. And so we were left without a lot of things that were supposed to happen.
Yep.
I worry that this is kind of a global Disney Paris situation where we're going to lose enough money that we're going to lose a lot of things that people were really excited about. And, you know, started projects may not be finished for a good while.
Yeah. I would definitely say that this is a complete company shift in a lot of ways. I don't think that they'll never completely recover from this because it's going to be so dramatic. It's going to change the course in which they were headed, I think.
Dramatic enough that they had to bring back the CEO even.
Oh, that's totally true.
We didn't even talk about that.
This was so much going on.
They brought back old Bob. We had new Bob in for like 4 months, and then old Bob came back.
Oh, thank goodness, because we need old Bob right now. Because Bob Iger is like a Disney legend. Basically, everything he's done during his reign there as CEO has been just magical. And then right before this, he was like, peace out, I'm out, guys. But not fully.
Yeah.
And then the board of directors and stockholders and everybody had basically asked him to come back into an operations point of view. And he did, which is great.
Yeah.
Because I think we're going to need at least two CEOs to get through it, right?
As long as they're not getting paid double CEOs. Yeah, I think it's important to have a little bit of dirt vision under your fingernails when you go into a situation like this. You want someone that's done some work. You want someone that's already encountered roadblocks and difficult times as a CEO.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of steering your ship through another difficult moment. I don't know enough about New Bob to tell you how experienced he is. But I guarantee he doesn't have the experience of running the Disney company through a difficult moment.
Yeah, he doesn't have that.
Yeah. And so to have Bob Iger come back and say, okay, let me help you.
Yeah.
It's probably a very good idea.
Yeah, it's going to take both of their guidance to get through it and their decision-making skills to get through it.
Right.
And they will get through it. But to say that Epcot's going to ever look like what we thought we were going to get, you know, is not going to happen.
No,
we're never.
Not now. It very well could happen a couple years down the road when let's be honest, when they reopen again, that place is going to be a madhouse because people are losing their minds about the parks being closed.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all so shut in and depressed. All we want to do is go to Disney. So when they open their gates again, I think they're going to, I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't hit capacity for
oh, that's interesting.
A couple days, if not a week worth of time of people just wanting to be there.
Well, because Walt Disney's granddaughter on the night of the closing, she was on Twitter and was not happy about the crowd sizes.
Oh, really?
Do you remember?
Yeah, oh, she said, watching the fireworks.
She said some unpleasant things on Twitter about it. You know, I will say that if we were to go back in the end of 2020, you have some very, I said that we need to come up with some really cool Disney gloves or Mickey gloves.
Yes.
I think that this is what Disney needs to do when they reopen. They need to hand out like designer Mickey gloves for everybody.
Yeah.
So that every single person coming into the park, out of the park, and it's going to be a complete mess because kids are not going to want to wear them. They're going to get sticky. They're going to get messy.
Right.
They're going to want to throw those things away. But I think that at a minute, I think that those might be the kind of thing that they're going to have to do to try to reopen the parks at some point in the future.
Well, so that there's, and Disney has a no mask rule. So how are we going to work with that now? Because yeah. I mean, it's not to be too grandiose about it, but the world has changed because of this.
Uh-huh.
And people are a little bit more aware of proximity, and they're a little bit more aware of germs, and they're a little bit more aware of all of these type of things. And so I feel like, much like how Disney's had to change with other social changes, they're going to have to change with the way people have reacted to a global pandemic.
Oh, very much so.
Mm-hmm. Now, what that means, I'm not sure. And I'm really glad I'm not the one that has to make that decision. Because that's going to be a mess.
Uh-huh.
But I think people are very excited to go back. And like you said, if we go back, I don't know when that will be, but if, when we go back, we'll say that when we go back, I will definitely be sporting gloves. Yep. I'm already a germaphobe as it is. So I will be wearing gloves.
Yeah, I was thinking that too, because when we go to the parks, we do, I mean, like a lot of people, we have hand sanitizer hanging from our backpack.
Right.
And we keep a distance of people ahead of us in the queue line.
Right.
Unless we're absolutely forced to scrunch in, which they love to make you do. used to make you do.
They used to. I don't know if they can do that anymore.
You know, and you bring up a point, though. I wonder if the only way they're going to be able to do it is reduce capacity by a third or something. Instead of a capacity of 100,000, they now say we're allowing 30 or 25,000 people in closing the park.
Ooh.
Which even makes it even more sought-after ticket.
Right.
Which they is going to have bigger crowds outside of the gates.
Well, and I think what they may have to do in the future
that will be
is
intriguing.
Make you pre-book your trip. They may 100%. Make you say, I'm going to be there on these days. And, you know, once those days are filled up, they don't let anybody else in.
That's going to absolutely be the only way to come back online from this. You know, when it, I think you're right. I think you're 100% right. You're going to have to pre-book your tickets ahead of time.
Wow. Which will be really interesting because how... There are people that go every day,
uh-huh.
which I'm extremely jealous of, but there are people that are in the parks on a daily basis. There are people who are vlogging from the parks on a daily basis. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Disney World, not just Disney World, but the Disney World has changed along with the rest of us and what they deem is important and what they deem is safe. For our new
because I guess I mean these are minimums of what they're going to be able to do, reduce capacity by a third or whatever the number may be, let us have gloves, let us have masks, put hand sanitizer out in front of every single ride, if at all possible figure out a way to have like sanitation towels so you can wipe things down as you're on the rides and stuff, you know,
or hire someone specifically to sanitize.
But you have all if you have 25,000 patrons there, why not let them join in the effort of sanitation and wipe down the rides for you while they're on there?
Yeah.
We would. I would totally wipe down. Do you know what I mean? Just like the handrails.
I basically do already.
Yeah.
Like not, I don't have wipes on rides or anything, but I try to be as clean as possible. Like I said, I'm a bit of a germaphobe already. So I'm hyper aware of what I'm touching, when I'm touching it, when I'm touching my face, when I'm touching something that millions of other people have touched already today, like I'm already there.
Yeah. But when you're on when you're on Midway Mania, if they handed you like a wipe, right, as you were getting onto the ride to kind of like wipe down before and after, then the ride would never have any type of virus on it. And then it makes you wonder too, like, is that then the new standard for the parks forever, like going forward for the rest of the future of the parks? I don't see a reason not to.
So I remember before the parks closed, people were concerned about the fingerprint scanner.
Yeah.
They were like, you touch something that literally every other person in that park has touched at that point. So
how are they going to do the fingerprint scanner? Really? They can't. You cannot put the fingerprint scanner back into use to get into Walt Disney World. But it was such a good way of doing it.
I don't know how else they're going to do it unless they're going to make you have your ID out. You know, like, how else are they going to make sure that you are who?
And I don't know if it would ruin the machine, but if they have an employee that wipes it down between each use every single time.
They have great things. Like in Japan, they have self-cleaning bathrooms.
Yeah.
They have self-cleaning toilets. So why can't we do that with a finger scanner? You know, if you're going to make us touch it, sanitize it every time.
That's true.
They do it all the time in Japan, apparently. Isn't they have true? Really cool toilets over there, apparently.
Who does?
And who doesn't love a cool toilet? Which is another issue. Cleanliness in the parks.
Is the bathrooms.
The bathrooms, just things in general. Disney has got a lot of work to do to be responsible after all of this.
It is the company to watch. It is definitely the company to watch through all of this.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I don't think we did a very good job of keeping this one light. Because it's just kind of sad.
Yeah, and you know, we feel like, because obviously we know that we're hypercritical of the Disney community. That's, you know, as adults looking in on it, we are hypercritical, and so we give very critical reviews in general. We know that, but yeah, this one, and I do have to say that again, it is the company to watch for all people trying to come out of this.
And we want Disney to succeed. That's so not. Much. I'm never someone that. I'm not going to offer criticism about Disney and delight in the fact that they fail in any way, shape, or form. I want them to succeed. I want us as a people to succeed.
Completely.
So this is not a criticism. It's more just a very blunt, I guess, conversation.
Very true. Well, and because that's the thing about Disney, everything they do with all of their movies and cruise lines and everything, obviously the parks, it is literally like manufactured magic.
Yeah.
And so to see what they do as a company has always been really fascinating for us. It's why we do a podcast about it.
Right.
It's because
the business side is always really interesting.
Like, I find it the most incredible thing ever. And so it is out of that mindset that we have been critical in the past.
Really, what we're saying is we're excited to see what Disney does to make sure that all of their guests are safe.
Mm-hmm.
And, when you have to put in a security checkpoint, they put in a security checkpoint. So let's hope that when it's not a threat of violence, it's a threat of disease, that they also step up and
they will
make sure 100%. People are safe.
And for what it's worth, I'm glad we have two Bobs at the helm.
Yeah, thanks Bob and Bob, we appreciate you running it. But it's like I always say, have you washed your hands enough today?
Follow my perfectly sculpted two-finger point to the exit.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, rate, review us on your favorite podcast app, and if you didn't, help us do better by buying a patch at DisneyPatch.com.
Always be proud of what makes you unique, and we'll see you next time on the Obscure Disney Podcast.